Our text will be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 37. The words of Jesus, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate. Hope is a cherished desire that something, usually something good, will happen or succeed or be fulfilled. Such as, I hope to get a bonus this year of 1.4 million. Apparently you get them now regardless of performance, and I will say nothing about my pension arrangement. That is hope, normally. But hope is also an organization, a Britain-wide organization. Its aim is that all denominations of the Christian Church in every area will do more together. We'll unite worship and witness and action, at least some of the time, instead of each denomination doing its own thing all on its lonesome. The Strathaven and District Hope Committee, in which the Eastern Glasford are involved, the committee has been operating for just over a year. It brought the Bible World Display Unit to the area. It organized a prayer week. And for Easter, it has planned an Easter pilgrimage trail. There will be sites set up around Strathaven during Holy Week, marking significant incidents in the last week of Jesus' life. These sites will be manned so that anyone visiting them can hear a commentary describing what took place there, what Jesus did there, or what happened to him there. Thus, if anyone wishes to follow the trail, they will see the Easter events displayed in a slightly different way. So I thought during the Sundays of Lent, leading up to Easter, I would take a look at these sites. A preview of the Easter pilgrimage. Jerusalem was a walled city, entered by manned gates, and each gate was named. It is thought that Jesus entered the city by the Sheep Gate. It was on the east end of the north wall of Jerusalem, and the main north-south road from Galilee entered the city by that gate. It was also handy for anyone coming from the east, as Jesus did during Holy Week from Bethany. Down the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley at its shallowest part, then a not too steep rise up to Jerusalem's Sheep Gate. It got its name from the fact that most of the flocks brought down from the Judean hills entered that gate to the Jerusalem market, also in the north of the city. And from that gate, one could look south, see Jerusalem stretched out ahead. The golden dome of the temple blindingly reflecting the fierce sun. The Roman garrisoned fortress of Antonia. The high priest's palace, the palace of Herod Antipas. The narrow, winding streets and alleys with their flat-roofed houses seemingly piled one on top of the other. The town with all its life lay crowded, bustling, noisy before one's gaze. In Strathaven, the Sheep Gate will be set up at the lane at Hills Road, running down to the high gate of the cemetery with its panoramic view over the town. At this gate, of course, we can remember the triumphal entry of Jesus to the Holy City, riding in a donkey, cloaks thrown on the road in front of him, crowds waving palm branches and hallelujahs and hosannas drowning out the clamor of city life. It was a deliberately dramatic, stage-managed entrance with appropriate props and chorus. No one could mistake its meaning, for this was the way the prophet Zechariah had predicted that God's Messiah, God's anointed champion, God's Savior, would enter Jerusalem. The claim was unmistakable. This wasn't just one poor pilgrim among the thousands flocking into Jerusalem for the Passover. This wasn't just some provincial rabbi with his few disciples. This wasn't just the most recent celebrity with his screaming fans. Here Jesus was saying, I am sent by God. I am the anointed one. I am David's king. I am Messiah. I am Savior. And I have come to my holy city and to my temple and to my people. A claim which truly rattled the Jewish authorities and sealed Jesus' fate. The triumphal entry, overlooking the town. We remember that on at least three occasions in the coming days, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. In the words of our text, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate. Later in the week, he spoke graphically of the fall of Jerusalem. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city depart, for great distress shall be upon the earth and wrath upon this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trodden down. And again on the way to the cross, as he passed a group of women wailing at his fate, he said, Weep not for me, daughters of Jerusalem, but for yourselves and for your children. Within 40 years of the crucifixion in AD 70, Jerusalem fell to a Roman army led by the Emperor Vespasian's son Titus. Little of the city was left standing. The death toll from fighting and from famine was enormous. The Jews were exiled to all parts of the known world, and they would not return to the holy city until 1948. The Jews had turned to resistance, intrigue, and open rebellion, and Rome just finished them off. The Gospels give the impression of an intense sadness in the heart of Christ as he speaks of Jerusalem's fate. Here is no triumphant Messiah thundering doom and destruction upon a disobedient people. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you and you would not? These words are not just the words of a traveling rabbi. These words cry from the very heart of God, who down through the generations had watched his people time and time again turn their backs upon him. There is a deep yearning, a sense of desperate loss from a God who has called repeatedly and who has been repeatedly ignored. There is no anger here, no thirst for retribution, no triumphant gloating, only a terrible sense of loss and grief and regret. Christ shows us a God who longs for us to be at one with him and is heartbroken when we refuse. Christ shows us a God who calls us not in pique or rage, but from the depths of a fathomless love. Christ shows us a God who calls to us, but who will not force us. A God who leaves us free to choose and free to live with our choice, yet who still pines for us to turn to him. Christ shows us a God who comes not to criticize and condemn, but to save. In love to open a way back to himself, in love to make us ever more truly and deeply his own. At the sheep gate of old Jerusalem, or at the lane at Hills Road on our Easter pilgrimage trail, we can see Christ. Christ hailed in triumph, stating clearly who he is. And Christ overlooking the town with tears in his eyes, longing for his people to turn to him again. Grieved at the fate they have carved out for themselves, a fate which did not need to be. Here is the Christ at the sheep gate, looking at us, as he looked on his people of old, calling to us as he called to them, "Come unto me." God grant our Easter pilgrimage will help us respond. May grace be with us all.